chapter 11, beginning at verse 14. Our Lord is speaking to his disciples. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, who is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. The Lord Jesus makes an interesting statement in verse 15, And I am glad. Now let's clear up a misunderstanding immediately, because some people are upset by that statement. They have the idea that Jesus was glad that Lazarus died. He does not say that. Our Lord does not say that he was glad that Lazarus had died. He wept because Lazarus died. You can be sure that our Lord felt in his heart the sorrow, the pain, the agony that Mary and Martha were going through because of the death of their beloved brother. He said that he was glad he was not at Bethany, for if he had been there, Lazarus would not have died, because nobody ever died in the presence of the living Christ. This includes the two thieves on the cross. Our Lord died first, and then they died afterward. You see, the death of Lazarus was a part of God's great plan to bring glory to his Son and to accomplish his purposes on the earth. It was very important for Lazarus to go through this experience so that God could be glorified and so that the faith of the disciples could be built up, as well as the faith of Mary and Martha, and so that people could be saved. Please notice the emphasis in John chapter 11 on believing. In verse 15, our Lord makes it very clear that through the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, the disciples would believe. In verse 26, Jesus asks Martha, Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe. Then over in verse 40, our Lord said to Martha, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? So this experience had to do not only with the faith of the disciples, but also with the faith of Mary and Martha. Not only that, but the faith of the friends of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Verse 45, Then many of the Jews who came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. People were saved as a consequence of this miracle. Now, when all of this happened, initially, nobody could see much good coming out of it. But in the end, the Lord Jesus Christ was glorified, and the faith of the disciples, the faith of Mary and Martha, was built up, and many of the friends came to know the Lord. Let's learn from this experience three basic lessons about faith in Jesus Christ. They're very simple, but very basic and practical. Number one, faith in Christ must grow. You see, in verse 15, our Lord says, And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Our Lord is building up the faith of his disciples. He knows what lies before them. They were quite weak in their faith at the beginning, and as they went through all of these experiences with the Lord Jesus, their faith increased. Now, you begin the Christian life with saving faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you are saved, but don't stop there. You believe that God can save you. Do you then believe that he can keep you? Do you believe that he can provide for you? Do you believe that he can give you the power that you need to carry on the Christian life and to do his work? Do you trust him for wisdom and guidance in the decisions of life day by day? This is the victory that overcomes even our faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the disciples had a certain amount of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and their faith had been growing. When you trace it through the Gospel of John, it's an interesting study. It begins in John chapter 1, where the first disciples are called by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one that interests me right now is Nathanael. In John chapter 1, Philip came and found Nathanael, and Nathanael came to see the Lord Jesus. Verse 47, Jesus said to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, How knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now says Jesus, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Nathanael's faith now is beginning to grow. He says, You know all about me. In chapter 2, verse 11, after our Lord performed his first miracle, it says, This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. They believed because they saw the miracles that he performed. After his resurrection, you'll recall that Peter and John went to the tomb, and they saw the evidence of his resurrection. And they believed when they saw the evidence. But you see, the height of faith is not because God reveals things to us about ourselves, or because we see miracles, or even because we see evidence. No. No, we believe because of the Word. John chapter 2, verse 22, When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the Word which Jesus had said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When Peter made his great confession in John chapter 6, he said, To whom else shall we go? Thou art the Christ, and we believe that you have the words of God. So it's the Word that gives us faith. Faith in Christ must grow. And as you read the Gospel of John, you see the disciples growing in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they saw his works and they heard his words. Now, how do you and I grow in our faith? Well, we grow through the Word of God, don't we? But we also grow another way, and that leads us to a second lesson. Faith in Christ must grow, and faith grows through testing. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And our Lord has to test our faith. This is what Peter wrote about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, certainly Mary and Martha had their faith tested when Lazarus became ill. They prayed. They sent a message to Jesus. He did not come. He sent them a message saying, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified by it. By the time they got that message, Lazarus was already dead. Oh, how their faith was tested. Does the Word of God test your faith? We read about Joseph, the Word of the Lord tried him. You say, well, I believe the Word of God. I know you do. But I'm going through circumstances that seem to contradict the Word of God. That's the testing of your faith. You see, faith does not mean believing in spite of evidence. Faith means obeying in spite of consequence and in spite of circumstance. Mary and Martha had to believe the Word of God in spite of how they felt, in spite of what they saw. And the apostles were the same way. Their faith was being tested. Thomas was sure that when they crossed back over into Judea, they'd all be killed. Faith grows best through testing. The muscles of your faith cannot grow unless they are exercised, and this is why God's people are tested. And God knows how much we can take. You know, when the Lord puts you through the furnace, he always keeps his hand on the thermostat and he keeps his eye on the clock. He knows just how much and just how long. You say, well, I can't take any more. Yes, you can. Yes, we can. If God says we can, he knows us better than we. And he knows that faith grows best through testing. You know why testing increases our faith? For one thing, the trials of life knock the crutches out from under us. We don't lean on other people. We don't lean on our experience or our expertise or our bank account or our job. Suffering knocks all the crutches out from under us, and we have to lean on the Lord. And suffering exposes our weaknesses down inside. We start to see what we are really like. And suffering reveals the promises of God. Mr. Spurgeon used to say that the promises of God shine the brightest in the furnace of affliction. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through times of trial, I pray more. I read my Bible more because I realize how much I need the Lord. Now look at the apostles. Our Lord says, I want you to grow in your faith. I want you to believe. What did they believe? Well, they learned that they could trust his wisdom. When they were going through this experience, they thought that Jesus did not know what he was doing. Thomas was sure that he'd made a big mistake. They learned to trust his wisdom. You don't understand what God is doing right now. You'll learn to trust his wisdom. They learned to trust his timing. They couldn't figure out why he was waiting. He had a perfect plan. He knew exactly what he was going to do. They learned to trust his promises. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And that's exactly what happened. Lazarus did die, but he didn't stay dead. The ultimate was not death, it was resurrection. They learned that they could trust his promises. They learned that they could trust his love. When they saw him standing there by that tomb weeping, they knew that they could trust his love. They knew they could trust his power. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth wrapped in the grave clothes. You see, had they never gone through this experience, the disciples and Mary and Martha could never have really learned how to trust the Lord. Now, it's not important that you and I are comfortable. It is important that we are conformable. God has ordained that we are going to be conformed to the image of his Son, and the only way he can do this is to put us through testing and trial. Faith in Christ must grow. Faith grows best through testing. And a third lesson we learn here, tested faith glorifies God. Not just faith, but tested faith. Tested faith that has gone through the furnace shines like the gold. Tested faith glorifies God. You see, faith glorifies God by doing the impossible. Who ever heard of raising a dead man who had been in the grave for 4 days? Faith does the impossible. Faith meets the needs of people. And the result of all of this is glory to God. Oh, how Jesus Christ was glorified by the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And one of the great blessings of this is found in verse 45, that many of the friends of this family believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. You see, tested faith will do the impossible. You're facing something today that's impossible. F.B. Meyer used to say, you never really trust God until you trust him for the impossible. You're standing at that Red Sea place in your life, and the enemy is behind you, and the wilderness around you, and the sea in front of you, and what's God going to do? He's going to open the way for you. You're wondering why you've been going through testing and trial. This is the reason why. God has been building your faith that through you he might do the impossible. There's a problem in your church. You're wondering how it's going to be solved. There's a difficulty in your home, in your business. Right now, you are ready to give up. You say, nothing can be done. I'm through. No, no. God is going to increase your faith. And that tested faith is going to glorify God because you're going to do the impossible. You're going to solve the problem to the glory of God. Now, the disciples didn't get the credit for this. They didn't receive the glory for it. Jesus did. And that was his great concern, that he might glorify his Father. You know, you and I are going to go through the furnace of testing from time to time. It should purify our faith. It should glorify the Lord. The disciples grew in their faith through this experience. I'm sure in the years to come, they remembered this. When Peter was in prison, I'm sure he remembered this. My Savior is the Savior who can do the impossible. He can raise the dead. He can bring life where there's death. What encouragement this must have been to the apostles when they faced difficulties in the years to come. Mary and Martha grew in their faith. They knew that they could trust him with anything. and their unsaved friends came to know the Lord Jesus, and they grew in their faith as well. My friend, don't falter today. Don't question His love. Don't question His wisdom. Don't try to second-guess God. Just keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. He will increase your faith. He will enable you to do the impossible if you'll just let Him have His way. Let's pray together.